Today's a very special day in the Daf Yomi. We begin a brand new Masechta. So we begin with Masechta Beitza Daf Beis. Now, we even have a discussion as to the proper name of this Masechta. I pronounced it Beitza. We'll see that some pronounce it Beya. And we'll see that among some of the Rishonim, the name of the Masechta is actually Maseches Yom Tov. And the reason why it's called Maseches Yom Tov is because it deals with the halachos dealing with the generic Yom Tovim, not specific for Pesach. We have a separate Masechta of Pesach, not specific for Sukkah. We just went through the beautiful Masechta of Sukkah. There is no Masechta dealing with Shavuos, Atzeres. Masechta Shavuos has nothing to do with the holiday of Shavuos. But there is this generic Yom Tov Masechta known as Maseches Yom Tov, according to some, that deals with the mitzvos that are generic to Yom Tov. And we'll see that as we start the first Mishnah. Now, why do some people call it Masechta Beitza? Because it begins with Beitza Shenol to be Yom Tov. It deals with an egg that is laid by a chicken on Yom Tov. So why do some people call it Beya then, the Aramaic word for Beitza? So the Yamshel Shlomo writes, that he was makabel from the Rishonim, that they were nisar, they were very careful, Shalolo Mar B'Talmud Beitzim. They didn't want to say the term Beitzim, but they used the term Beyim, which is the Aramaic form. Why? Shetzarech la'ayin b'chol mila shetehe b'loshon nekia. That you want to make sure that every word that we use and say is a clean word. We use euphemisms sometimes if we have to use a word to describe something that is not such a nice word, so we use a cleaner word. For example, when we're dealing with a non-kosher species of animals, which would be called a tmeya, so we say lo tahora. The Torah taught us that we call it not tahar as opposed to calling it tmeya. So these Rishonim bring down that you shouldn't say the word beitzim because it has a negative connotation. It's the word that means the testicles, and therefore it is not a clean word, and therefore we prefer to use another word, beya, the Aramaic term. However, the Tiferes Yisrael disagrees with this. He says, what's wrong with the word Beitza? It's a normal word. He doesn't consider that the reason. And he brings a different reason. And he says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that it could be a michshol if the person who's giving a drusha isn't saying the words clearly. And if he said the word Beitzim, so the people may understand this to mean Beitzas Mayim, to mean a body of water, like a swamp of water. And therefore, Chazal would know to say Beya, the Aramaic form, in order that there shouldn't be any mistake in what the word means, since Beitza could be misunderstood as another word, so therefore Be'ah is not misunderstood. In any event, my Rebbe, Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita, when I happened to learn Beitza with him over 40 years ago, so we termed the Masechta, Masechta Beitza, and therefore that's the terminology that I will use for this Masechta as well. With this little mini introduction, let us begin this beautiful Masechta. So the three cases that the Mishnah is going to tell us, both Rashi over here in Dibur HaMaskil, Sor Kizayis, as well as in the Tosos, in the same Dibur HaMaskil, Sor Kizayis, tell us that the reason why these three cases are mentioned over here, Tos Mili, having Mikule Beis Shammai Umichumre Beis Hillel, they deal with this unusual situation where Beis Shammai is the more makel opinion and Beis Hillel is the more machmer opinion. And that's why these three are put together, even though the first one deals specifically with Yom Tov, the second one will deal with Pesach, nothing to do with Yom Tov generic, and the third one has nothing to do with Yom Tov at all, it deals with Kisui Adam. Nevertheless, all three of them are put together here, both Rashi and Tosfos say for the same reason. So we begin, Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov. If you have an egg that was laid by a chicken on Yom Tov. So what is the halachic status of that egg? Can you use it? So it's not treif. It's not something that can never be used. It's just on Yom Tov itself. The Mishnah tells us that we have a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And Beis Shammai is the lenient opinion. Beis Shammai omrim teyocha, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with eating this egg. It is acceptable. And Beis Hillel omrim lo teyochel. Beis Hillel says you aren't allowed to go and eat it. Now, even this terminology is a little bit funny. Why do we say teyochel, it can be eaten, or lo teyochel? Tosus brings down, we normally use the lashon of osur and mutter. Why don't we say Beis Shammai omrim osur, and Beis Hillel say that it's mutter? So one of the reasons that Tosus brings down is to teach us that it's not permanently osur, it's not permanently something that is forbidden, it's only not allowed to be eaten on Yom Tov, and that's why they use the terminology lo teyochel on Yom Tov, but after Yom Tov, it's perfectly acceptable. That's one teretz. Another teretz Tosfos brings down is that you may have misunderstood. If it said osur mutter, it was talking about tilto, moving the egg. And there, if it had said osur mutter, we would say Beis Shammai says it's mutter to move it. Beis Hillel says osur to move it. But even Beis Shammai would say that it's osur to eat it. Therefore, it has to tell us specifically that Beis Shammai's opinion says that you even can go and eat it. Alternatively, Tosos brings down at the end of the Tosos, the nokat le Beis Shammai teyocha. Why does it say teyocha for Beis Shammai? Mishum the mashma achila vil tiltu. Teyocha would imply eating, and of course, if you can eat it, then you can move it. Then achila blo tiltu. However, Beis Hillel, they're oser even tiltu. So why didn't they say that? So el agav the nokat Beis Shammai teyocha. Since we want to stress the kula of Beis Shammai, so therefore it used the lashon by Beis Hillel as well of lo teyocha, even though he means lo taltel as well. In any event, this is the first machlokes we have in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Can you eat this egg, move this egg? So Beis Shammai says yes, and Beis Hillel says no. Second machlokes, which is brought down here again, just because it's an example of Beis Shammai Lekula, is the question of what about the shiurim for Sa'or? Sa'or is like a super chametz. It's chametz shechimutzo kosher. That's what the Gemara is going to tell us later on. And that's a smaller shear, according to Beis Shammai, than the shear for regular chametz, which is a larger shear, according to Beis Shammai, which is a kula, because Beis Hillel is going to say that both of them have the same smaller shear. So, Beis Shammai omrim, so'or, bechazayis. The issue of Baal Tiroa, Baal Timotze, the issue that you have to go and burn your possessions that are chametz, so for so'or, the shear is a smaller amount, a kizayis. A kizayis is either a half or a third of a beitza. And for chametz, general chametz, not such chibutzo kosher type of chametz, regular chametz, the sa'or is what makes something chametz, and then the chametz is the resulting product. So for regular chametz, the shear is a kikoseves. The Mefarshim point out this is a different shear than the shear that we learned in Yom Kippur. For eating on Yom Kippur, the shear is a kikoseves agasa. That's a large size date. The kikoseves is a date. So this is a slightly smaller shear than that. And the Mefarshim talk about, does it include the pit, not include the pit? We're not going to get into that now. But in any event, the shear is a larger shear for a kikoseves, which is a kula, that you need to have a kikoseves is worth to be chayv, to be mevirit, and be over about tiro, about timotze. Now, Beis Hillel says they're both the same shear. Beis Hillel omrim, zeh v'zeh, both the sor and even the chametz, the shear is a kizayis. A kosevis, by the way, is smaller than a beitza, but larger than a kizayis. It's closer to the shear of a kibetza than it is to the shear of a kizayis. So that's the second machlokus. And the third machlokus of Beis Shammai is more mekel, is in regards to the din of kisui adam. There's a special mitzvah in the Torah that tells us that the shechita of a bird that's kosher, or a chaya, one of the seven kosher animals that's not domesticated, as opposed to the behemoth, which is the goat, the sheep, and the cow family. So when you shecht a behemoth, there is no mitzvah kisui adam, but when you shecht a chaya, or when you shecht a oaf that are kosher, there's a mitzvah to cover up the blood after the shechita, to do it a mitzvah of kisui adam. So we have a machlokas here. If you shecht on yontif, hashochet chaya v'ov b'yontif. So it does have, I mentioned before that it has nothing to do with yontif. It does have to do with yontif, but it's talking about the din of kisui adam. So if you shecht the chaya and the oaf on yontif, so then Beis Shammai says that, of course, you have to do the mitzvah kisui adam, but if you didn't prepare dirt normally would be muktza. And in the situation where you didn't prepare dirt, how are you supposed to get dirt? So Beis Shammai says, no. In that situation, yachpor bedeker v'yachase. You go and take a deker. A deker is a hoe or some type of a spade. Rashi always uses the foreign language word for this, pila, which is a deker, a kli chafira bekarka, according to Lazi Rashi. So it's a digging tool. And as we'll see in the Gemara later on, if this tool is already in the ground, then you can go and use it. So you're not starting it, it's already in the ground. So if you didn't prepare the dirt, you can move it around. It also has to be loose dirt, we'll see. In any event, Beis Shammai says, you are allowed to do this l'chatchila. You have the animal to shecht, you have the chaya or the oaf to shecht, and you didn't prepare dirt, now it's yontif, you're allowed to shecht on yontif. So yach por bedek v'yachas, you can take this spade or this hoe that's already in the ground and loose dirt, and bring up some dirt, and that is permissible. Beis Hillel says, no, you can't. Beis Hillel omrim, lo yishchot. In that situation, l'chatchila, you don't go and shecht. You didn't prepare the dirt, so you're going to pass over the mitzvah kisui adam. You're not let it go and shecht. Unless, elim kein ha'yu lo ofer mucha mibodion, unless you had prepared dirt beforehand. That's not mukta. No, Beis Hillel is moded to Beis Shammai, you're modim, then however, if you did shecht, you didn't know the halacha, or you just shechted anyway, shim shachat. So what are you supposed to do? You have the mitzvah kisui adam to do. Sheyachpar bedek v'yachase. Then you can take this spade, this hoe, and if it's already in loose dirt in the ground, then bid the yevet, they allow it, Beis Shammai allowed l'chatchila. And then the Mishnah seems to make a non sequitur. She'efer kira muchan hu. So the Gemara will have two explanations as to what this is doing here. One explanation is it has nothing to do with the previous discussion, and it's telling us a separate din that efer kira, the ashes from a stove, aren't considered muktza, umuchan, and they're able to be used for anything that you wanted to do on Yontif. For example, if you wanted to cover up some excrement that you had in your house, they had different hygiene and different standards. It could be some excrement in the house. They didn't have bathrooms indoors. So therefore, if you want to cover it up, you could take this Afer Kira and cover it up. It's considered Muchan. The other explanation, it has to do with the din of Kisi Adam. It's also from Tosos on Daf Ches. And Tosos there says that if you had ashes that were prepared from before Yontif, so they're allowed to be used for Kisi Adam. In any event, we'll get to the Gemara, we'll discuss this more. Now let's start our Gemara. B'maya Eskinim, what is the first case of the Mishnah talking about? This Beitza Shenol to be Yontif. And we'll have a big discussion the rest of this year today to tell us what exactly are the circumstances. And the Gemara starts off and says, Ilema, are you talking about B'tarnegolis ho medes li'achila? Are we dealing over here with a chicken that is for the purposes of eating? There's two types of chickens. You have chickens that you have for shechting, you want to have chicken to eat, or there are chickens that are the purpose is that they lay eggs, so you can have eggs. So there are two different types of chickens, and it'll be totally on what you can do with them, depending on what their purpose is, because of the concept of muktzah. Muktzah is one of the major subjects of Masechta Beitza, and we're going to be now dealing is what is the status of this egg if it comes out of a chicken, and it would be a difference, the Gemara says, if it comes out of a chicken whose purpose was for food, it is itself eaten. So if it happens to lay an egg, so just like the chicken is muchan itself to be shechted, so anything that comes out of it is also considered muchan. Or do we say, no, the chicken's purpose is to lay eggs, and therefore the chicken itself is muktzah in the sense that you weren't expecting to shecht this chicken on Yontif because it's an egg-laying chicken, and therefore the chicken is not muchan for shechita, and therefore things that come out of it also not be muchan. And that's what the Gemara says. Ma'iskin, what type of a chicken are we talking about? Ilema b'tarnegola, as we're talking about a female chicken, ha'omedes li'achila, if it was itself potentially going to be shechted, so then why would Beis Hillel say it's no good? Ma'itamayo de Beis Hillel, uchlo the ifrasu. Why would Beis Hillel say that it's muktzah? The chicken itself could be shechted, so how could the egg be muktzah? It is uchlo, food, the ifrasu that comes from food. As Rashi says, the Lashon over here, this is ochel shenifrad from another ochel. That's what Tos says, ochel nifrad min ha-ochel. So it is food that's coming from food, so therefore it is not muktzah. Why would Beis Hillel say that it is not allowed to be eaten? Lo se yochel. Are you going to tell me, therefore, Ella b'tarnegolus homedes l'gadol beitzah? Oh, we're talking about a chicken whose purpose in life is to lay eggs. And therefore, that's not going to be shechted because it's an egg-laying chicken, and therefore, it is muktzah. So then, ma'itamayad beishameh. Then why in the world would beishameh say that teyochel? If it's muktzah, it's muktzah. Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Well, my kusher, what's your problem? We have a famous machlokus throughout Shas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda as to what things are considered muktzah and what things are not. Rabbi Shimon is a much more makel opinion. He holds that the generic usage of something is that it's muchan. It's only in something like grogros utsmukin, something which is totally inedible right now, fruits that are in the process of being dried from being fresh fruits to being dried fruits, so there's an in-between stage where they're not edible. So that is something that is totally out of your mind. Grogros utsmukin are the only types of things that are muktzah to Rabbi Shimon. But something which you didn't designate but could be used on Shabbos or Yontif, by definition, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not muktzah. And then you have the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. He says that you bedavka have to be making something in order to be able to use it. The default position is that it's not going to be used. As opposed to Rabbi Shimon, the default position is that it is going to be used. That's, in a nutshell, the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So Agmar says, so what's your problem over here in our Mishnah? Dilma, Beis Shammai less lehu muktzah. Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon and doesn't hold from the concept of muktzah. And Beis Hillel, they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and they do hold from the concept of muktzah. So therefore, the reason why Beis Shammai says you can eat the egg is because they say it's not muktzah. And the reason why Beis Hillel says you can't eat the egg is because they hold that it's muktzah. Someone says that can't be. Even according to the more makel position of Rabbi Shimon, that muktzah doesn't exist in general, that most things are considered usable, even though you didn't designate them, therefore they're not muktzah. So there's an exception to that rule. Even Rabbi Shimon, who says, as I mentioned before, grogros utsmukin are considered muktzah. So he also says that nolad is muktzah, something that wasn't around at the start of Shabbos. So therefore, you can't say that it by default is in mind that you're going to use it. It wasn't around. Something that you weren't planning on using, but it was around. So that, Rabbi Shimon says, doesn't have the status of muktzah. But nolad is like a super duper muktzah because it wasn't even around. Even Rabbi Shimon would equate that with grossud smukin, and therefore benolad aser. So if that's the case, then my tamay de beishamay, then why would beishamay permit it? If you're telling me that this is a machlokus between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, then even nolad is aser. According to Rabbi Shimon, who's beishamay going like? So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, no, that's wrong. That last thing that we just said is incorrect. In fact, Leolam, we're dealing over here with Tarnagolus, Omedes, Legal, Beitzim. We are dealing with a chicken that its purpose in life is to lay eggs. Therefore, it's not expected to be shechted, and therefore, it certainly isn't Muchon that you're going to shecht it. So Rabbi Huda absolutely says it's no good. But Rabbi Shimon would say that if it's Legato Beitzim, it could be shechted, and therefore, even though you didn't designate it, it is not Muktzah. And therefore, but Rav Nachman is telling us, Ude Islay Muktzah, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so obviously Islay Nola, that's no Chiddush. But the Chiddush is, Ude Leslay Muktzah, according to Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold for Muktzah, guess what? Leslay Nola. He doesn't consider Nola to be like grossud smukin. He says Nola is like Muktzah. What difference does it make if you weren't thinking of using it or it wasn't in the world? Once it comes into the world, it's usable, so therefore there is no din of Muktzah. And therefore, Beishamay holds like Rabbi Shimon, or Beisilo ki Rabbi Yehuda. That is, in fact, the right understanding according to Rav Nachman. But this seems to contradict what Rav Nachman said elsewhere. This is in Hilchus Yontif, that Rav Nachman is telling us that Beis Shammai takes the more makel opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and Beis Hillel takes the more machmir opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But in regards to Hilchus Shabbos, he seems to say the exact opposite. Omi amar Rav Nachman hachi. How can you tell me that Rav Nachman holds that Beis Shammai takes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and Beis Hillel takes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? But none, we learned in a Mishnah in Shabbos, Beis Shammai Omrim Magbin Me'al Hashulchan Atzomos Uklipin, that Beis Shammai is the one that says that you're allowed to go and lift off the table Atzomos Uklipin after you're done with your meal. So there are going to be bones left, there are going to be shells left, these are muktzah, because they weren't around before. This is like a nolad. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, no, Mesalek Es HaTavla Kula Umanara. You're not allowed to move the individual atzomos uklipin. They're muktzah. But what you can do is pick up the table, the tray that you were eating on, and go and shake it off and shake the muktzah off into the garbage. That you're allowed to do. That is the girsa that would be consistent with our Mishnah in Beitzah. That Mishnah in Shabbos, according to the Tanakhama, according to the girsa that we just have, is the shita that Beis Hillel holds like the more machmir opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, just like over here, he holds like the more machmir opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and doesn't allow you to eat the Beitzah Shenol to be Yontif. And the Beis Shammai over there allow you to move the Atzomus and Klipim because they don't consider it Muktzah. And Beis Shammai holds like the more makel opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and that would be over here too. Beitzah Shenol to be Yontif is allowed to be eaten, Teyochel. Now it'd be great if that's what Rav Nachman held, but along comes Rav Nachman and he says that's the wrong appellations. The Omer Rav Nachman, Anu, Ein Lanu. No, we don't have that. Ella Beis Shammai ki Rabbi Yehuda. We flip it around. And Beis Shammai is the one that says, no, Mesalek es HaTavla Kula Menara. They're the ones that hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the stricter opinion of Muktzah. And it's Beis Hillel that is saying the opinion Magbi and Me'al HaShulchan Atzomus Uklipin, that you can directly pick it up like the more lenient opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So, according to Rav Nachman, how can you tell me that he says Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon? Here he clearly says that the Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And how can you tell me in Beitzah that Beis Hillel holds like the more machmir opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? You clearly see from this Mishnah in Shabbos that Rav Nachman says that Beis Hillel holds like the makel opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So, a stira within Rav Nachman, and he himself answers the question. Amar Rav Nachman, no. In regards to Hilchus Shabbos, Gabi Shabbos, where we have a Stam Mishnah, that the opinion that is correct is Rabbi Shimon, and when Rabbi set up the Mishnayis, and he had an unnamed source for a Mishnah, a Stam Mishnah, that's because Rabbi wanted us to paskin that, and he didn't want to ask any questions, and if you said it was this opinion or that opinion, or that Tana or this Tana, so then you could maybe bring Raya's against it. But if you say it is Stam, it's harder to bring a Raya against it. Rabbi wanted to paskin like this Stam Mishnah. So therefore, in regards to Hilchus Shabbos, where we have a Stam Mishnah, the Stam Lon Tana Ki Rabbi Shimon, that we paskin like the more lenient opinion of Rabbi Shimon in regards to Hilchus Shabbos, where is that Stam Mishnah? That's not. There's a little Mishnah at the end of Shabbos that tells us that Mechatchin Es HaDeluy in the Flea Behemah, you're allowed to go chop up a gourd, Luyana translated as gourds, you're allowed to go chop them up for your animal, Rashi explains over here, it would be a tircha yisera, that we're dealing here over here, first of all, that it's tlushin, it's not connected to the ground. If it was connected to the ground, that would not be allowed. But it's a detached gourd, and you're allowed to cut it up for your behema, and we don't say, v'lo amrin, and tircha delav tzorchu, that this is an unnecessary thing. Let your animal eat it itself, or you're making it easy for the animal to eat it. Tosu says that it's not able to eat it in this situation. The Mayri B'Tlusha, we're dealing also with a detached type of a gourd, otherwise it would be a problem. And he says, the Aser, the Mashvelu Ochlin, right now, it's not considered an Ochel. It's either kosher, it's too hard, and when you cut it up, that will soften it and allow the animal to eat it. So, in any event, the opinion that is the Stam Mishnah says you are allowed to go cut up this gourd for your animal on Shabbos. And likewise, if an animal died, it's an Avela. And Tosu says, Tzrich Lefarish in Islav Lo B'Shabbos, even if it died on Shabbos. And that's what Rashi says as well. The Avapish in Islav Lo B'Shabbos, because the Bein HaShemashos, Lo Yisoh Medes Liachilas Klovin, and it wasn't edible during the Bein HaShemashos. And normally we would say, Migu Dizkatzoi, the Bein HaShemashos, it's Katzoi, Kol Yom Kula. Normally we have the principle, if something is muktzah during the Bein HaShemashos, it's muktzah all Shabbos long. And nevertheless, over here, the Mishnah tells us that you'd be allowed to go and cut it up. In any event, clearly this Mishnah holds like the more lenient opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that there is no general strictness to the din of muktzah. It's only with grogers of smoking that Rabbi Shimon holds muktzah. But this diluyan that is either involving tircha yisera, or it's not really a food, and you're now making it into a food, or this nevela, which wasn't eligible to be eaten during the Bein HaShemashos, but now it's eligible to be eaten, so Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. This is the Stam Mishnah, like Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, Mokim Lo Beis Hillel Ki Rabbi Shimon. We want Beis Hillel to always be the way that we paskin, so we paskin like the Stam Mishnah, so Beis Hillel, therefore, must be holding, Rav Nachman says, like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon in regards to Hilchos Shabbos. But in regards to Hilchos Yontiv, Avul Gabe Yontif, we turn to Beis Omid Beis, in regards to Yontif, where we have a Stam Mishnah, the Stam Lontanik of Yehuda. Rebbe set up a Stam Mishnah like the opinion of Yehuda. What is that Stam Mishnah? We'll learn this in Yitzhak Hashem later in the Masechta. The Tnan, we'll learn later in our Masechta that you're not allowed to go and chop up wood that wasn't designated for firewood on Yontif. Even though you're allowed to go and burn wood on Yontif, it has to have been Muchan wood on Yontif. And the Mishnah tells us, Ein Mavakin Eitzim Min HaKoros. You're not allowed to go and take wood that was set aside to be beams, and therefore it wasn't expected to be used as firewood. You have expensive 2x4s, you're not going to throw them into the fire. But you're not allowed to go and chop these up if you need them on Yontif, because they are Muktzah. Likewise, Lomana Kora, Shinishbar B'Yontif. And likewise, you can't go and take a beam that was a beam at the start of Yontif, and then it broke. And you're not allowed to go and chop that up and use it as firewood on Yontif, because they were kalim, they were special utensils and not designated for firewood. And the Stam position of this Mishnah is, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the default is, unless it was muchan for Yontif usage, it's not allowed to be used. And therefore, we want Beis Hillel to be the way that we paskin. And therefore, Rabbi had a Stam Mishnah that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, Rav Nachman says, in regards to Yontif, our Mishnah, Beit Shanol B'Yontif, Lo Teyochel, Mokim Lo Beis Hillel, Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, we have Beis Hillel going like Rabbi Yehuda. So the obvious question is, why do we make a distinction? Why did Rebbe make a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon in regards to Hilchos Shabbos, and he made a Stam Mishnah in regards to Yontif that goes like Rabbi Yehuda? It seems to be a steer. I mean, they obey. So one says, Michte, Man Stam Elimas Nisan, who's the author of all the Mishnayos? Rebbe. Rebbe was the famous redactor of all the Mishnayos, the great Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Now, Maishto B'Shabbos is Sosom Lonk Rabbi Shimon, or Maishto B'Yontif is Sosom Lonk Rabbi Yehuda? This is the question that I just asked. Here it is in the Gemara. So Gemara gives a very good answer. Amrei, Gemara says, there are differences between Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook. You're not allowed to do many things on Shabbos that you're allowed to do on Yontif. But it's no difference. We say, ain bein Shabbos liyontif, ela ochel nefesh bovat. The difference is, on Yontif you can prepare food, and on Shabbos you can't. But that is a tremendous kula. On Yontif, you cook all you want. You can go and shecht. You can do all sorts of things. So therefore, Shabbos, which is much more machmir in people's eyes, Shabbos de chamira, not only people's eyes, it is more chomer in many dinim, and therefore, you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, so you never have questions in regards to cooking. The answer is very easy. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. So therefore, Shabbos, which is more chomer, people aren't going to make mistakes so easily and be mezalzel in Hilchos Shabbos, because it's much stricter. Therefore, Rebbe, when he set up the Stam Mishnayis, said, Stam Lon K'Rebbe Shimon, the Mekel. He says, I think that this won't lead to a Takola if we accept the more Mekel opinion of Rebbe Shimon in regards to Muktzah. So in regards to Hilchos Shabbos, Rebbe said there's no Takola that's going to come by if we pass him like Rebbe Shimon. But on Yontiv, the keel. Yontiv is much easier in terms of the rules of Ochel Nefesh. Once you give an inch, people will take the entire foot. So therefore, Rebbe was very concerned that if we pass like the Mekel opinion, Rebbe Shimon, it's going to lead to a zilzul of Yontif, and it's going to lead to a takala. And therefore, Stamlon ki Rebbe Yehuda de Machmir. And therefore, for Hilchos Yontif, he had a Stam Mishnah that took the more stricter, stringent opinion of Rebbe Yehuda in regards to Muktzah, and that's why it was Machmir. So therefore, there's not a steer to say that we paskin like Rebbe Shimon in regards to Hilchos Shabbos, and yet, in regards to Hilchos Yontif, we paskin like Rebbe Yehuda. And therefore, our Mishnah has Beis Hillel like the more stricter opinion, which is the way that Rebbe wanted us to paskin. Now, bottom line is, B'mayu Kimta, how have we set up our Mishnah? According to Rav Nachman, the way we just explained Rav Nachman, our Mishnah is dealing with Muktzah. B'taragolus omedes legadol beitzim, the chicken is a egg-raising chicken, an egg-laying chicken, and therefore its purpose is not to be shechted, and therefore it's Muktzah, and therefore, omishom Muktzah, that's why you can't eat the egg. So then Gemara says, why do we have the discussion about the egg? Ihachi, instead of ademiflugi bebeitzah, liflugu b'taragolus. The tarnagolus comes, the chicken comes before the egg, right? The age-old question, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? No, the chicken here comes before the egg. So why are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, why are Beis Hillel and Bishamai having a machlokes about the egg, having machlokes about the chicken? You have a tarnagolus omedes legal beitzim. You should have said, in that situation, not the beitz or shenolda, but the tarnagolus omedes legal beitzim, Beis Hillel says, you're not allowed to go shech this animal, because they passing like Rabbi Yehuda. And Bishamai says, you are allowed to go shech this chicken, even though it's legal beitzim, it would be otherwise muktzah according to Rabbi Yehuda, but according to the opinion of Beis Shammai / Rabbi Shimon, since it could be shechted, it's by definition considered mukhan. So why are we having the machlokas in regards to the beitzim shenol beyontiv? Have the machlokas in regards to the thing that came first, the tarnagolus ha'omed is legal beitzim. So Gemara says no, because then we wouldn't know lodicha kolchon de Beis Shammai. We want to stress how lenient Beis Shammai is. Not only is the mother chicken over here permissible, but even if she lays an egg, that's permissible, even though there'd been no lad. Even though you're dealing with a stricter type of muktzah, the mother is a regular type of muktzah, and the egg is no lad. So the chiddush is, lodicha and kochon de Beis Shammai, there'd been no lad, shari, that even in regards to something that is created on yontif, nevertheless, we are makel to hold that it's not muktzah. Regular muktzah doesn't exist according to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's regular muktzah. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not. And this applies even to Nolad. That's why you want to tell us the case of Beitzah Shenolda rather than Tarnagolus or Medesigal Beitzah. Gemara says, wait a second then. The Lifluge B'Tarnagolus Lodiacha Kochan the Beis Hillel. No. So this way, if you tell me only about the egg, you want to say, okay, the egg is Nolad, but the chicken would be mutter. So you should tell me to show me the strength of Beis Hillel's Chumrah that even the Tarnagolas is usher, never mind the nolad egg, but even the regular, quote, muktzah, Tarnagolas, according to Beis Hillel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is muktzah. And therefore, to show me the strength of Beis Hillel, the bemuktzah asre, why didn't you do that? And therefore, you should have said, Tarnagolas, rather than the Beis Shenolda. Instead of showing me the strength of Beis Shammai's kula, show me the strength of Beis Hillel's chumrah. Ah, you're going to tell me, we always go through Shas, Uchitema, Koach de Tera Odif. It always is preferable to give the more lenient opinion. Rashi tells us the beautiful understanding behind this, and this is something that's a very important life lesson, because you always want to show me the person who can find the heter, because Shehu Somech al Shuwaso, he's a thinking person. He's delving into the sugya, the Eino Yari Lahatir, and he says, I've gone through this sugya, and in fact, this is mutter. And therefore, he has a complete understanding, and yet is willing to say that it's mutter. However, the person who's machmir, avokoach ha'osrin, ain't a raya. That's not such a big deal. If you don't know something, so you say, I must be osir, which is not in fact correct. The default position in halacha is usually that everything is mutter until you show that it's osir. But a person who isn't sure of the sugya, isn't so fully understanding the sugya, so he'll say that the default position is, hakol yichol la'achmir, afil b'davar mutter. Because if I'm not sure, well, I'm not going to take the chance to say that it's mutter when it may be osir. So therefore, it's easy to say that something is osir. And therefore, we always want to show koach de'etera odif. And therefore, why don't we say over here that the reason why we chose to think of it as the case of beitzah rather than tarnagolus or medesigal beitzim is because koach de'etera odif, and we want to show and highlight the strength of Beis Shammai's kula, Rabbi Shimon's kula, rather than showing us the strength of Beis Hillel, Rabbi Yehuda's chumrah. Shmuel says, no, here we have an exception to the rule. Tosus brings down in Dibur HaMaskil He says, why don't we say this all the time to show the strength of both sides? We don't say that. We always say, koch deter adiv. He says, here it's different because you can just do this with one simple additional word. And that's why he explains the Gemara. The niflo b'tavayu, here, we don't say, show us the koch of the chumra of Beis Hillel. We're saying you could do both. Here it's easy to do both. Show us the strength of Beis Shammai's kula, and you can also show us the strength of Beis Hillel's chumra with one additional word only. And therefore, that's what the Gemara is questioning according to Tosos. The niflo b'tavayu, why over here don't we do both of them? We could say, tarnegoles omedes ligado beitzim, hiu beitzasa. All you have to do is add the word hiu beitzasa, and this way you can show the strength of Beis Shammai's kula and the strength of Beis Hillel's chumra. Because then you would just say, Beis Shammai omrim teyochel, or Beis Hillel omrim lo seyochel. By adding just the words hiu beitzasa, you could show both sides. So the Gemara is questioning Rav Nachman's explanation. Why are you telling us over here it's beitzah shenol de beyontif to show us the strength of Beis Shammai's kula? You could do both, show us the strength of Beis Shammai's kula and Beis Hillel's chumra at the same time. And the lashon should have been tana golus homedes ligado beitzim hiu beitzasa. And since we don't do that, it must not be right. That's the way the Gemara seems to lead this, because we're now going to say, Ella, Omar Rabba, we're going to give a different teretz. But many of the poskim disagree with this. And many of the poskim say, in fact, the Rav Nachman is right, and his shita is brought down, according to many poskim, lehalocha. In any event, we continue in the Gemara. Ella, Omar Rabba, so Rabba therefore gives a different interpretation. Either Rabba rejects Rav Nachman's interpretation, or Rabba is just giving us a different understanding. So Rabba tells us, in fact, we're not dealing with a tarnagoles that is Omedes ligado beitzim. Elo liolam, we're dealing over here, betarnagoles omedes lachila. The purpose of this chicken is for eating. This chicken is going to be shechted, and therefore it's muchan to be shechted on yontif. Aye, then why is the egg no good? Ubiyontif shechol yos achar ha-shabes haskinam. But we're dealing with a unique situation. We're dealing here not with a muktzah, regular muktzah problem, because the mother, the hen, the chicken, is allowed to be eaten, so therefore the egg is also eaten. This is Uchla the Ifris. It's food that came from food. So that's not a problem. It's not a muktzah problem. According to Rabbah, it's a hachana problem. This is the famous shita of hachana de Rabbah, that you're not allowed to prepare on Yontif for Shabbos or on Shabbos for Yontif. And this is going to introduce us to the whole concept of an Erev Tavshilin. Eventually, not today's shia, in the upcoming shia. Elam a Rabbah. Rabbah says we are dealing over here with something that's not muktzah, but tarnegoles or medesli achila. That's what we're dealing with. And we're dealing here with the unique case of Biyontif that falls out on a Sunday. Biyontif shecholios achar haShabbos. Yontif is on Sunday, askinu. That's the case. Umishum hachana, and the whole question over here is a machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in regards to hachana. The Kosova Rabba holds, kol beitzo demisyaldo ha'idna. When an egg is laid on a day, when was it performed? An egg is laid on a Tuesday. So it was prepared, me'esmol garmula. It really was mechind on Monday. So this is not a problem if you're dealing with weekdays. However, Rabba says over here, when an egg is laid on Sunday yontif, it means it was prepared on Shabbos. So Shabbos essentially prepared this egg for yontif. And that's a problem. Because Rabba holds, Rabba l'taymei, the Yom Rabba, Rabba says on the pasuk in Chumash, Veichinu Esa Sheyoviu, that you have to prepare everything that you're going to use on Shabbos as follows. And he says, Vayo, Bayo, Mashi, Maidichsi, what does the pasuk mean? Vayo, Bayo, Mashishi, Veichinu Esa Sheyoviu. You have to go and prepare everything that you're going to use on Shabbos. You have to prepare it on Friday. Bayo, Mashishi, you must prepare for Shabbos. And this teaches us that Chol, a weekday, is allowed to be Mechel on Shabbos, of course. The chol, and likewise a weekday, is mechel yontif. You have yontif on a Tuesday, so then on Monday you can prepare for the yontif. However, based upon this pasuk, it tells us only on a weekday can you prepare for a Shabbos or a yontif. And therefore, that chol is mechel Shabbos, chol is mechel yontif. However, the ain yontif mechel Shabbos, the ain Shabbos mechino yontif. But Shabbos and yontif can't prepare for each other. So yontif is not allowed to be preparing for Shabbos. And in our case in our Mishnah, Shabbos is preparing for Yontif. If Yontif is Sunday and the egg is laid on Sunday, then Shabbos prepared for it. And that's why Beis Hillel says in our Mishnah, because of this hachana de Rabba, this preparation that Rabba is telling us is not allowed, his drasha, therefore Beis Hillel says it's asur. Abai questions this. Amalei Abai. Abai says to his Rebbe, Rebbe, Elamayata, Yontov b'alma tishtri. So then, according to this, Beitzah Shenolda B'Yontif, that's not Sunday, Beitzah Shenolda on Yontif Tuesday, should be allowed to be eaten. But that's not what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says Beitzah Shenolda B'Yontif, period, is Aser. So Rabbi says, yeah, this is a Gzeira. If we allowed you to eat an egg on Yontif that was laid on Tuesday, then you're going to eat an egg on Yontif that was Sunday. And therefore, that would be a Gzeira Mishum Yom Tov Achar Shabbos. So we don't let you eat an egg on any day that is laid, that is Yontif, because of Yontif that comes out on a Sunday. So Yontif on a Tuesday, so technically the egg would be permissible. There is no reason, there's no hachana problem. But because if you allow people to eat an egg on Yontif on Tuesday, they're going to eat an egg on Yontif that's Sunday, and that would be a problem of Shabbos being mechin for Sunday Yontif. So therefore the rabbi said, across the board, Gezeira, we don't let you eat any egg, Beitz or Shanola, be Yontif, any time. Abai still is not happy. He says, then Shabbos the Al Motishtere. So then, an egg that's laid on Shabbos should also be allowed to be eaten. Now, obviously, you'd have to eat it raw because you're not allowed to cook it on Shabbos as opposed to on Yom Tov, you could cook it. So we have Chazonim coming up on the Yom HaNoraim, that there's a minhag that the Chazonim, they eat raw eggs to keep their throats nice and smooth, maintain their voices. So why don't we allow you to eat then an egg that's laid on Shabbos? There's no gzeira that you should make because of Yom Tov on Shabbos. So Rabbi says, yes, there is. Gezeira Mishum Shabbos, Acha Yontif. We have to be concerned that when Yontif is on a Friday, so now the egg is laid on Shabbos, now you would have Yontif being Mechen for Shabbos. Just like Shabbos can't be Mechen for Yontif, Yontif can't be Mechen for Shabbos. And therefore, this same Gezeira applies both to a Stam Yontif on a weekday, not Sunday, and to a Shabbos that doesn't occur after a Friday Yontif, every Shabbos. And therefore, this Gezeira tells us, since we're concerned that sometimes Yontif would be Mechem for Shabbos if we allowed you to eat the egg that was laid on Shabbos that came after a Friday Yontif, or Yontif that was on Sunday that came after a Shabbos. So then we, in those situations, would have a problem of Hachana. So therefore, across the board, we never let you eat an egg that was laid on Yontif, on that Yontif, or on Shabbos, on that Shabbos. That's the Hachana de Rabba situation. Again, Abai is still not happy. He says, really? Umi Gazrina, do we make such a gzeira that you're not allowed to eat an egg ever that's laid on Shabbos or an egg that's ever laid on Yontif because of this concern that Yontif or Shabbos would be making for the other one? For Tanya, we learn in the following brisa, Hashochet is satar negolas, if somebody goes and shechs this female chicken, umatzoba beitzim gemuras, and you find inside of it fully formed eggs, right? They're going to be laid in an hour, but now you shechted the animal. So mutaros liochel miyontif. So you could eat these eggs on Yontif. Now, if what you're saying is true, Rabbah, v'im isa, that we have this concern, this gezeira, mishum Shabbos acha Yontif, and mishum Yontif acha Shabbos, so then how could you eat this egg? Ligzor mishum hanoch demisyaldum biyomeim. If this egg had been laid, you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. So therefore, we should make gezeira that even though it's inside the mother that you just shechted, you shouldn't be allowed to eat this chicken's eggs, because of if it had laid it, you wouldn't be allowed to eat it as well. So Rabbah responds back to Abaye, Omalei, no. Beitzim gemuros b'mei imon milsa de lo shchicha hi, u milsa de lo shchicha lo gozu barabonon. He says, no, this is a very unusual situation to go shech the chicken and to find eggs inside of it that are fully formed and to make a gzeira there. Oh, therefore we shouldn't allow you to eat these eggs that are fully formed inside the chicken because you're not allowed to eat them if they come out. That's not something that is common. And we have a famous rule that the Chachamim don't set up gzeiros for a dover that is not shriach. Milso de lo shricha lo gozu rabbanan. The rabbis only set up gezeiros for things that are likely to occur. For something that's very unlikely to occur, the rabbis don't set up gezeiros. So this is Rabba's teretz. So we had the first teretz of Rav Nachman. We had the second teretz over here of Rabba, and now we're gonna have a third teretz, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef Amar, it's a gzeira mishum peros hanoshrim. There is a problem. The rabbis made a decree that if you have fruit that fell off the tree, you're not allowed to go and eat it because a person may come to go and then pluck off fruits from the tree. So if you have apples that fell off the tree, you're not allowed to go and eat them. Because we're concerned that if we allow you to eat the apples that fell off the tree on Yontif, so then you may climb the tree and pluck off an apple, or just pull off an apple. That's what Yosef says. This is a gzeira. Just like we don't allow you to eat an apple that fell off the tree, we likewise don't allow you to go and eat an egg that came out of the chicken for this gzeira. It's similar gzeira. Peiros Noshrim and Beitzah Shenolda are the same Gezeira. Abaye doesn't like this one either. Abaye asks his other rabbi. Abaye learned by Rabba and by Rav Yosef. Rabba and Rav Yosef are famous Bali Plukta, and Abaye and Rabba were the next generation. So Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Peiros HaNoshrim, why aren't you allowed to eat Peiros HaNoshrim? Time of my, what's the reason? We turn to Gimel Amud Aleph. that itself was a gzeira. Gzeira, shema yala v'yitlosh. Then you may go and climb up the tree and pluck off the apple. So therefore, the rabbi said, even if it falls off on its own, you're not allowed to go and eat it because of this gzeira. So he go for gzeira. That itself was a gzeira. And now you're going to make a gzeira l'gzeira, v'na nekom v'nigzor gzeira l'gzeira, because you can't eat the apple that fell off the tree because you may come to climb the tree. So therefore, you can't eat an egg that comes out of a chicken on Yontif because you may come to go and eat an apple that fell off the tree. And that may cause you to go and climb the tree. That's gzeira l'gzeira. So the Gemara says, no. Kula chod gzeira. In fact, it's one gzeira. Rashi explains that when they made this gzeira, kishenimnu v'gozru aperus hanoshrim, av beitzo haiso b'mashma, that they included at that time anything similar to this, which included the beitzo shenoldu b'yontif. And therefore, it's all one gzeira. That's teretz number 3 of Yosef. And we have teretz number 4. It's very similar from Rav Yitzchok. Rav Yitzchok Amar, Rav Yitzchok says, it is a gzeira mishum mashkin shazova. We have another rabbinical gzeira that the rabbi set up because of a concern that if you were to go and be allowed to have juices that came out of a fruit spontaneously on Yontif, you may go to squeeze that fruit on Yontif. Therefore, the rabbis made a gzeira that you can't use juices that came out on their own because of the concern that then you want more and you'll go and forget and you'll squeeze juices. That would be an issa deraisa of squeezing. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, Mashkin Shazavu time of Mai. Says the same exact question that we asked a moment ago. Why aren't you allowed to use these Mashkin Shazavu, these juices that came out? It's a gzeira, Shema Yisro, because you may come to do schita, to squeeze, and that would be an issa deraisa. So therefore, the rabbi said, don't do this. But if you're now telling me that you can't have the egg that comes out of a chicken because it's too much like mashkin shazavu, so therefore the rabbis are making a gzeira. You can't have the egg that comes out of chicken because you may come to have the mashkin that come out of a fruit. But that was a gzeira that you may come to squeeze the real fruits. So he gufa gzeira. So are we going to go set up a not nakam minigz or gzeira l'gzeira? We normally don't have a gzeira l'gzeira. We don't make rabbinical restrictions to protect a rabbinical restriction. Rabbinical restrictions, gzeiras, are set up to protect the din d'oraisa. So the Gemara gives us the same teretz that I gave a moment ago. Kula chod gzeira. In fact, this is all one gzeira. At the time that the rabbis made the original gzeira of mashkin shazavu, they included within it the beitza shenolda biyantif. These are the four terutzim. Again, we had Rav Nachman, we then had Rabbah, we had Rav Yosef, and now we have Rav Yitzchak. And in tomorrow's shir, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll discuss why each one didn't like the other one's reasoning. And each of them came up with their own separate explanation for Beitza Shanol de Beyontif, why Beis Hillel says, Asur Leyocha, you can't go and eat it. With this, we conclude the first beautiful daf in Masechta Beitza, Masechta Yomtiv, Masechta Beya. Thank you for listening.